I will be reading from the Gospel of Mark and from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. From Mark 4, starting to read in verse 35, up till the end of the chapter. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? How have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here ends the first reading, and then we'll continue in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5. I'll be starting to read in verse 11. "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the word of God for this morning. I'd like to share some of the things that I found in these two readings. And I'll start, just find some, I thought that there was something which could be put, yeah, so that I'll be able to find Mark again. When Paul is talking the way he is talking in the second letter of Corinthians, he is strongly reflecting on his work as an apostle. Why am I doing the things that I am doing? The thing that strikes me when reading it is that he constantly speaks of we and us. Therefore, I think that Paul also will allow us to enter into that same reflection. Why are we doing the things we are doing? Why are we studying theology in a diploma course, in a degree course? Why are we lecturing here? Why are we here? Of course, you can say, well, it's easy because this is a theological institution and I enrolled, so that's why. But why am I doing it? What's it for? Paul gives us a few reasons, and I want to go into the fourth one that he mentions. He starts by knowing the fear of the Lord. That's the first. If you know who God is in his holiness, then you'll be able to understand that it's necessary to really go out and preach the word of God, to be working as the apostle was working. The second reason that he mentioned is that about his conscience. In his conscience, he needs to be free for himself. And then he also talks about the congregation. They might boast about him when they see him doing the thing that he is doing. And they might boast because there are other teachers who work for other causes. Paul calls it the outward appearance. Why am I working? Why am I working as a pastor? Maybe sometimes you even find in yourself that, well, why am I doing the things? Because I need a salary. Let's be honest. I need bread. I have a family to take care of. And sometimes I even think that pastors and those who want to enter into that ministry will be struck a little bit by the vanity of this world. Then we will have really a need for outward appearance. Paul says, when you see me doing the things that I'm doing, you will be able to boast against those who want to boast on outward appearance. But the fourth reason is, I think, the most important and the most compelling also. It's in verse 14, where Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us. From the Greek, I would suggest that we read it this morning in this way: the love of Christ gives us no other option. Are there other options? Of course there are other options. I already mentioned the option of the outward appearance that we are chasing after. But if you have seen the love of Christ and the power of Christ and what Christ is able to do, then you will understand why Paul is always doing the things that he is doing. And what was he doing? He left his comfortable world of the academic world in Jerusalem, where he was teaching and he was lecturing and he was gaining more knowledge about the Torah, and he was entering deep, deep, deep in the world of the Bible. Being a Pharisee in Philippians, he talks about his history. There you will see who Paul was. Being a Pharisee, being from Benjamin, being circumcised on the eighth day, all those kind of things. And Paul was going deep, deep, deep into that. But he left that comfortable world where he was at home, where he was accepted, where he was receiving the honor of a Pharisee. And he went abroad. It started in Antioch, where he and Barnabas were sent out, and he went through Asia, and he went through Macedonia, and he went through Greece, and he even went, Paul talks about all the trials and tribulations that he went through. Why? For the love of Christ. That is why he left his comfort zone and went to people who did not know that love of Christ. Because when you have seen what Christ has been doing from his love, then you will be also seeing the other people who need this. And that's where I would like to turn to Mark, to show you a little detail in the Gospel of Mark, which I was fortunate to be pointed to someday, and I said, well, this is actually what needs to be seen. In Mark 4, Jesus is teaching the whole chapter. Mark 4 is actually an account of what happened on one day. Maybe it's just a composition. I don't want to go deep in those questions, but let's just take it that the day started and Jesus started teaching, and at the end of the day, that's verse 35, when the day had come to an end. So it starts by Jesus teaching at the side of the lake, and there are so many people flocking in that he has to step into a boat, and from that boat he is teaching. And every now and then in Mark 4 you see what is happening. Sometimes Jesus is speaking to the people on the shore, sometimes he is explaining something to the disciples in the boat. And he's teaching about the secret of the kingdom of God. And then evening comes, and Jesus says, now we go to the other side. Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with him. He was already in the boat. That's why it says, actually this translation is a little bit difficult, but just as he was already in the boat. And then there is this a little detail which I want to point our attention to. A few words in verse 36. And other boats were with him. There were other boats. Mark is the only one to tell it. When you read this same story from Luke or from Matthew, you will read about that Jesus is teaching, and Jesus says, now we go to the other side. But Mark is the only one to tell us about the other boats. And it seems as if it doesn't play any role of importance. There are interpreters who say, well, it's because the disciples were too many. Or it's because people were just reluctant to leave Jesus, and they stepped in the boat. Whatever the reason, people stepped in those boats. Mark tells us they were there. And then the storm comes, and the disciples say, do you not care? It's a silly question. When you think very deep on the mission of Jesus, it's very clear that the disciples did not yet understand what Jesus was coming to do. Do you not care? If he were not caring, if he were not interested, he wouldn't have been in their boat in the first place. He wouldn't have been on earth in the first place. If he did not care, he would have remained in the glory of God, the triune God, who was holy, who was complete, who was enjoying. Now there is where you start to see the love of Christ, that he was in that boat. He was there because he left the heavens. He was there because he came man. And the storm comes, and Jesus is powerful, and apparently this storm is a little bit different from the other storms that these fishermen were remembering. So that's why they are so much afraid. And Jesus is just waking up, standing up and say, like if he's speaking to a dog, "Peace, be still, quiet." And the storm is calmed. And then they reach the other side. Imagine there were other boats with them. They were in the same storm. But they didn't see what Jesus was doing. Because most definitely they were too much engaged in taking out the water of their boats which was getting in there. And then all of a sudden it was silent. So they must have asked, or the disciples must have told what happened. Because they saw, they knew those people in the other boats. They were in the storm. Now, the storm of Mark 4 is not just a storm. It's an example of the storm, maybe incited by Satan. But when you go very, very deep, you see that storm is not a storm. Just an ordinary storm. It must have had the signs of the storm of God in his wrath coming to this world. That's why those disciples were so much afraid. Knowing, that's what Paul says, knowing the fear of the Lord. When you're in that storm, when you're about to go down, and you realize, I'm going to face God. What's going to happen? What's going through you? That's what the fear of the Lord is. But what motivates Paul most is that he sees in that storm there was Jesus. Not afraid. He was just sleeping. Like he was sleeping after completing the work. And on the third day he rose again. That love of Christ controls us, says this translation. But it leaves us no option. No other option than to go out. Paul describes what the work of Christ is. The love of Christ is. And it's all focused in that moment where he died on the cross. We have concluded that one has died for all. Therefore all have died. And when he died for me, when he died for you, he didn't die so that I could lean back and say, "Ah, glory, hallelujah, I'm saved, and I'm leaning back in my salvation." Sometimes I do that. Sometimes we do that in church. We say, we were praising so good, it was so good to celebrate, to worship. We had a good worship. Okay. It can be very nice to have a good worship. But Christ controls us, gives us no other option than to go out. Because he died for all, that those who live Those who know it for themselves, who have had that experience, who know he died for me, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You're never saved, period. When you're saved to serve. Not because some boss is behind you, but because the love of Christ gives me no other option. And what are we going to do then? We are going to see those people who are with us. Because to realize what happened there on the cross is to realize what the disciples went through in that storm, where the storm which was there at Golgotha was the storm where Satan tried to ruin the whole work of God, and in the same time where God poured all his wrath, all his anger on Jesus. He died. He was made to sin. Who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what happened on Golgotha. That should happen to me. I was in that storm, but he died. And when he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And does it stop in the church? No, it doesn't stop in the church. Because Paul is very boldly speaking about all. Now, of course, we can say, okay, we've got some ways how to read this and how to contain this into the church. And we can talk about all these kind of things that have been talked about in history. But let's just stick to the words of the Bible. Paul says, he died for all. And now, it doesn't care who you are. That's what Paul says. We regard no one according to the flesh. It doesn't care who you are. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. And it's not us who are doing this. It's God who is doing this. Because through Christ, he reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world, not just the church, but the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So, what Paul here is saying is, from God's perspective, there's no problem anymore. This doesn't mean that we don't have to go out, because we have to go out, because this will only be true for me if I repent, if I bow down, if I worship Jesus, if I say, thank you, Lord, that you came for me. And in my life that happened in a way that I was born and raised in a Christian family where I was taught the Bible, where I was taken to church, and to catechism class, and all these kind of things. But there are many around us who were not brought up like that. And yet they need to know. That is what Paul says, that to us We are made assembly. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are not ambassadors for Christ to live lives full of nice appearances. Those are the outward things. But we are ambassadors for Christ, and we need to daily look at what His love did for us, so that His love will give me also today no other option than to share the love of Christ with the people around me. Because God, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. You hear that? When you share the gospel, when you preach, when you're out evangelizing, it's not you. Because if it were me, why would they believe me? Why would they listen to me? Because when they get to know me, they will say, but I know some stories about you. Yeah, I know them myself. And I bring them in my confession before Jesus. People will know the stories about us. But Paul says here, we are ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. That will give power. Those disciples in that boat, when they were talking to those other people in those other boats, you know what happened? Those people must have bow down and worship Jesus also. God is making His appeal. We implore you. And that is what Paul says. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. From God's perspective, it's ready to be enjoyed. But now what we do, because God, Christ's love gives us no other option, what we do is to bring that news to the people around. And I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you to be aware of this, to ask yourself this one question. There are many questions that you are working on in your assignments, in your tests, in whatever. But never forget this one question. Did I see the love of Jesus today? Do I realize it? And then, do I have other options? When I come across my family who doesn't believe, my neighbors who do not believe, the people in the street who do not know Jesus, do I have other options? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your only begotten Son to this world. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You cared so much, that You wanted to leave the realms of holiness, of glory, to come down to this world, to be the least of all, to lose Your life, to die for us. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit we may see this, and we may believe it, and we may know it really by heart and realize I can't live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. Father, make us through your Holy Spirit instruments of your love, of your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.